Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
Was that over the top?
It was a little weird how you went that. Oh. Or how you went. Your face.
I apologize.
Yes.
Okay. I want to say something really exciting. So, you know, we've been pushing for 30 reviews on Apple Podcasts.
And we got it.
We got it. We actually are at 32.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes. So I can stop talking about this in every episode.
That's probably why they did it. So just get something to shut up.
No, but thank you so much. And the reviews are just, they're so kind and I really appreciate them. Even the negative ones, it helps me to know like what you think about the show and how we can improve it. So
we don't listen to them, but you know.
Thank you for helping us to reach that goal. I really do appreciate it. So more exciting in terms of actual game stuff, the Mavericks beat the Utah Jazz tonight, 111-103, without Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, this was, I thought the odds were stacked against them. And I mean, the Jazz have a better record. They're number one in the West. You know, the numbers would tell you that this was probably going to be a Mavs loss, but man, they were like, their team defense was amazing in terms of like scrambling and their rotations, their individual defense from Luka all the way down to Nicolo Melli, who got the defensive player of the game belt. Individually, their defense was great. Their shooting was, I mean, you know, Melli went 0-for-7, but then you had Dorian who was hot. It was just, it was an awesome game by the Mavs.
This is now, and talking about the Mavericks defense and what they held the Jazz to 103. Now, a lot of that was the Jazz just missed a lot of shots. But
They did.
But let's not take all the credit away from what Dallas did defensively. Mavericks tried really hard. They worked really hard to make the Jazz uncomfortable. So even though the Jazz were getting some three-point shots, I felt like they felt the Mavericks on them the entire time. Even a lot of threes that they shot, they were fouls.
Yeah.
Because the Mavericks were that close up on them. Like they were giving them zero airspace. So I thought the Mavericks impacted a lot of their 3-point shooting. Obviously, the percentages also would say that they just happened to miss them, and they did. And the Mavericks were on fire tonight. They shot over 50% from three. It doesn't matter though. The fact is, they played harder than the Jazz. They wanted this game so much more. They executed their game plan. They were focused the entire 48 minutes from the 12th man all the way up to Luka.
Yeah.
They were dialed in and wanted to win this game. And you can see the effort, the energy. It was amazing to watch.
It was the level of play that you would see from an elite team, like a team that's just, you know, perennial or every year winning 50 plus games, you know, like a top four seed in the West or in their conference, like just that level of play that those teams rise to game in and game out. That was what we saw from the Mavericks and what we're seeing more from the Mavericks lately. But it's one thing to see it against, you know, the Timberwolves or some of these, even the middling teams, 500 teams. It's one thing to do it against them and another thing to do it against the Utah Jazz. And I think a lot of people were billing this as like a kind of a measuring stick sort of game. Like, we'll see, is their defense for real? Is their offense for real? And tonight, like, yeah, the Jazz missed a ton of shots, but how much was them? How much was the Mavs' amazing defense? Like you said, usually a combination of both.
Yeah, well, and this is a theme for the Mavericks over the last couple of months is their defense.
Yeah.
This game went how the other games have gone for them, where sometimes it's a defensive slugfest, which is what the opposing team does not want. But the Mavericks are getting really comfortable in those kind of games. It's a slow game.
Yeah.
It's a very slow pace type of game. And it's a defensive grindhouse. And it's weird to say that about this team, the way they were ranked defensively earlier in the season with all the COVID issues that they had. But their defense is, I'm starting to believe it is for real. Because this game went just like those other games. It was the same theme where the opposing team just couldn't score on the Mavericks' scrambling defense. And yes, part of being a really good defensive team is you have to have some things bounce your way. But you kind of make those things bounce your way.
Yeah.
Again, teams shoot lower percentages on threes when they feel your presence. So even if they're getting the shots that they like to get, if they just feel you there, they know you're there, it causes them to miss a little bit more than they would like to. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's what the Mavericks did tonight. The Jazz had won 9 in a row. I still think they're a better team than Dallas. Don't get me wrong.
Overall,
it's just one game.
They've done this for a lot longer.
Yes, I don't know if I'm ready to say the Mavericks would beat the Jazz in a 7-game series.
No.
But one thing that helps is the Mavericks have the best player on the court.
True.
And it's not even close. The distance between Donovan Mitchell and Luka Doncic isn't even close.
Yeah.
And that may give the Mavericks, and that's why the Mavericks may have a chance in any playoff series. I'm not saying they're going to win, but because they'll have the best player on the court most of the time, they have a legit shot at winning a lot of games. Just like we saw against the Clippers last year, no one expected them to win 2 games against them, but because they had the best player, they were able
to do that. It was fun. You know that they'll at least make the series fun.
Yeah.
They're not going to get swept or blown out or anything. I mean, Donovan Mitchell was 6 for 23 tonight. Obviously,
he was terrible.
Yeah, that's a bad shooting night for him. But even just on a normal night, Luka is still way better.
Well, that's my concern with the Jazz is Donovan Mitchell. Because in the playoffs, it does come down a lot of times to your star player making plays.
Who can make a shot against the best defense in the world?
Because the defenses are on another level when you're deep in the playoffs. So you have to have a guy that can just make the play when you need it. And he's shown flashes that he can, but he is so reliant on an off-the-dribble jump shot that it concerns me a little bit. Like 6 of 23 is what he shot tonight. You don't really see those kind of shooting numbers in today's NBA very often anymore. Like in the 2000s, that was kind of
that
a regular thing. You would have nights like that because a lot of it was ISO basketball. But nowadays, like when was the last time Luka went 6 of 23 or 5 of 22? You know, like a really bad, that just doesn't happen that often in the NBA anymore.
Well, because you have to be so efficient.
Yes, and the shots you're getting are efficient shots.
Yeah.
I didn't see efficient shots from Donovan Mitchell. And if he lives and dies by those off-the-dribble pull-up mid-range jumpers, that would concern me if I'm a Jazz fan, because in the playoffs, deep run, that might come back to bite him.
Well, and also, I don't think he's proven himself to be that level of player. You know,
no,
like
Luka's clearly a better player.
Yeah, like a Luka or Damian Lillard or Kevin Durant or, you know, Westbrook, Kyrie. Although he just hasn't proven himself to be at that level.
I think if you were to put Luka, switch Luka and Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz would be the favorites to win the West, no question. Because that team is stacked.
Yeah.
Gobert, Bogdanovich, Clarkson, Mike Conley, you know, they
the
would
great
fit
Derek Favors.
The great.
He's a Wiley
vet. He went from up-and-coming young star to Wiley vet in
he
5
was,
minutes.
He was an up-and-coming young star for like 10 years.
And now he's a Wiley
now
vet.
Now he's a Wiley vet because he never became a star.
But yeah, I think if you put Luka on that Jazz team, they're a complete, like, their record may be the same, but where it's going to help them is deep in the playoffs when you have a guy that can get his bucket no matter the defense.
I have wondered that about the Jazz, and, like, you never want to say out loud that you don't think the number one seed is as good as
it happens all the time, though.
But it's, like, when I look at the roster and I'm like, man, you know, Bogdanovich, Gobert, Mike Conley, Clarkson's probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year, Joe Ingles coming off the bench, like, that is a stacked roster, but in the playoffs, it's about who's your best player. And if it's Donovan Mitchell, is that enough? And I don't think it is.
I don't. And look, I think they're a great team.
Not in a 7-game series.
Yes. And that's the thing. And they may make it to the Western Conference Finals, but they're going to run into a team that can guard them.
Yeah.
And when you run
into, that can guard Mitchell.
Yes. And well, and that's where it's up to Mitchell. No matter the defense, he's going to win the game for them when it matters most, and that's where it's going to matter with the Jazz. But in the regular season and what the Mavericks saw tonight, they're obviously the number one seed. The way they shoot the ball, they're unbelievably...
And the way they defend. I mean, they still play great
defense.
They
are a great team. They're number one for a reason. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Jazz aren't for real. I'm just a little concerned about them deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they're definitely a better team than the Mavericks. Now, the Mavericks are 19-7 over their last, 26 games?
Over the last 15 games, the Mavericks are 10-5. I don't think that includes tonight. This is from NBA Stats.
Yes, but they've also lost two games because Porzingis and Luka were out. They sat him.
I know they
and
just
Luka
won
was,
five in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know they're like 19-7 or something. Because like
because if they're 23 games in with the resting. And then if you subtract seven
okay,
of
just
what...
Okay, just stop. They were 9-14.
Okay.
They're now 28. Minus eight. No, just okay. stop. Okay. They're now 28-21. That is 19-7.
19-7.
Anyways, the Mavericks have been playing really good basketball. And we got to talk about...
Wait, I want to... Okay. I want to... Wait, what were you going to say?
Well, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to talk about Nicolò Melli.
Yes.
Because I
love him.
Really like the
kid. Love him.
And this is a weird night to say it because he went 0 for 7, but he did have 7 rebounds and a steal and 2 blocks. But his defense, like.
I love him. Yes.
Yeah. And he's not just. I mean, first of all, he competes, which is amazing. I love that he's not just like, oh, I'm a bench warmer. Let me do my minutes. Like, no, he is out there to fight. And. He's a good defender, not just in terms of being scrappy, but he actually stays in front of his man.
There's so many things that have surprised me about Melli.
Mm-hmm.
His defense is his size. Yeah. He is bigger and stronger than I was expecting. Like, he's a legit, I don't know what he's listed.
Let me see.
But he looks like he's a good 6'9", 6'10". But he's big and he's strong.
He's 6'9".
6'9". And he's a big guy. And he moves his feet really well for a
strong.
Big.
He sets really good screens.
Yes.
His screens are solid.
And he had that defensive stop in the fourth quarter where Mitchell was on him.
Mm-hmm.
Or he was guarding Mitchell. And Mitchell tried to take him. Yeah. And Melli moved his feet so well. And then Mitchell, who's also a really strong guard, tried to bully him out of the way. And I don't think he realized how... heavy that wall was when he bumped into Melli because it kind of threw him off a little bit to where Dorian can come over and block the shot.
Well, it's 236 pounds.
Yes. So he's a strong dude and he's a much better defender and smarter basketball. Like he looks like a basketball player. Like even though I know he went 0 of 7 from 3, mm-hmm. I don't even care. That's going to happen from time to time. But he makes smart basketball plays and I love when he is out there on the court.
Yeah, that was one thing I was thinking while watching him, especially tonight, was like he just knows how to play basketball. Mm-hmm. He makes the right pass. He's in the right spot.
He's been well coached for a long time.
I would say that. I mean, obviously, he's not a star. He's not probably not going to score double digits every night, but just he knows how to play the game. You don't have to worry about him making the wrong decision or not setting the screen in the right place. Like he just always does the right thing. And I really like him.
I like him a lot. I'm pleasantly surprised. And I guess if this is how he plays consistently, I can't imagine a team like New Orleans who struggles so much on defense couldn't find any use for this guy.
He never really played.
He never played. He never got, I mean, he barely
played,
ever
played.
He played,
I think, 7 minutes a game or 11 minutes a game
but
in
not
New
every
Orleans.
Game.
No, he had played 22 games this season.
So that means he had 20 DMP coaches' decisions.
Yeah.
And for a team that struggles defensively, they didn't see any value in his defensive ability.
Well, so I think part of it might have been his shooting. Like he was shooting on three-pointers 19% on three-pointers. So I think if he couldn't shoot, it was like, well, why is he out there?
Yes, but my point is defensively. He is a big bonus, and they had plenty of scoring in New Orleans. Yeah. I just think that either way, I don't care. I'm glad we have him, and if he consistently plays this well, what a great pickup.
Yeah.
Like, especially if JJ can come back, JJ Redick can come back, get into a groove, this team is looking better and better, and I am cautiously optimistic, and another reason why I'm starting to allow myself to hope.
You're starting to believe.
I'm starting to believe.
Martin, that is so beautiful.
Jalen freaking Brunson.
The guy that you wanted to cut last year?
Yes. I didn't want to cut him. I was severely disappointed in his
play.
I'm pretty
sure you were like, he wouldn't even play on any other team.
I don't know. I've said that about many Mavericks. Yeah. I don't know if I said that about JB.
Pretty sure you said it about Brunson.
But if I did, I'm so glad I was
wrong.
Can
you stop yelling at me, please?
Okay, wow. He has been phenomenal. And he, it's like he's finally unlocked his confidence that he actually belongs in this league. And not just belongs, but he's a player. Because he's playing with that kind of confidence that he, I think, struggled with for this first couple of years to believe that he could actually be a player in this league. And I think he's starting to believe it. And I'm really glad they kept him. And I'm really glad Carlisle kept putting him out there, even though there were times it was like, dude, what are you doing out there on the court? And he has been awesome. He has been the Mavericks.
This is bold.
Most consistent player, and lately, over the last like 10 games, he has been their second best player.
See, I think that's a little, I think that's too far. Because, I mean, Porzingis is still averaging more points.
It's not always so about technically, points, though. The thing is, though, what Jalen can do that Porzingis can't is get his own bucket.
Yeah, that's true.
He can get his own bucket.
Well, because he's a guard, I feel like he has the ball. Well,
no, there's plenty of bigs in this league that can get their own bucket. You know,
you just give them the ball
and they get their own bucket. And you can't do that with Porzingis.
Yeah.
And I'm not going down the Porzingis rabbit hole.
No, it's all right. It's all right.
My point being is because of his ability to get his own shot, he has made himself, in my opinion, lately the second best or at least most important player on this team.
That's maybe a good way to put it. It's like the second most important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an excellent dynamic with this team when him and Luka are on the court at the same time. Because when Luka and JB are on the court at the same time and JB's playing at this level, it gives him that legit secondary scorer, playmaker type of player that Porzingis can again feed off of another guy.
Yeah.
And I really like what I'm seeing from Jalen. He's been so consistent this year. His shooting percentages are unbelievable for a guard. It's like almost like it can't maintain it, but we're now, you know, three quarters of the way into the season.
Yeah, my only, like, I wish that Brunson were taller, you know.
That's not his fault.
So that he could start, because I think, like, there's a ceiling to what he can add to a team. Like, I think he's probably in his best situation on an elite team. He's coming off the bench and playing the role that he's in right now.
Yes, but there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it would be awesome if he could, like, start and be their second best player and all that.
Obviously, yes, it would be great that if he were 6'6" and he was a superstar.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Yeah.
But
he's good in this role.
He's excellent in this role.
Yeah.
And he's been excellent for them regardless of when he comes into the game. He has been just as important. I think tonight he closed the game.
Yeah,
because of his
so.
Ability to get his own bucket. And that's kind of been happening more and more where Josh Richardson is finding himself on the bench. And not to any fault of his own, he played. Josh Richardson was awesome tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just having Jalen and Luka on the court, two guys that can get into the lane, and both of them shoot such high percentages at the rim that they're just such a matchup nightmare for the opposing team.
Yeah, he had 20 tonight. This month, that doesn't include tonight, but so far this month, he's averaging 17 points a game, and then he had 20 tonight. But yeah, to start this season in December, he was averaging less than 11, and then in January, he averaged a little less than 12, and then 13.5, and then now 17 plus whatever the 20 is going to make it. So yeah, I mean, he's been awesome. He's been really great. I think, like, Richardson, sometimes he sort of comes and goes offensively, but his defense is always there. Yeah. Situationally, there's times when maybe Richardson is more needed than Brunson or vice versa. This game was so great. It was so fun that I enjoyed watching Dwight Powell. I thought he did a great job.
He hustled. He was a part of the whole team's hustle and effort tonight.
But not, like, he's always been a hustle guy, but I feel like tonight he actually got some results.
No, you know, I completely agree. Things. He did nothing wrong, and he played 13 minutes, which is fine. If he can go out there and play 13 minutes
and not hurt you,
then great. I didn't see anything wrong with him. I thought Maxi had 5 rebounds, 2 assists.
This just wasn't a Maxi game.
And it's honestly, he's going against Rudy Gobert. So to ask that he compete with Gobert is not really fair. But I didn't feel like Gobert manhandled the Mavericks like he has done in the past. In fact, Gobert tonight only had 14 points, 15 rebounds. Now, that sounds ridiculous.
The rebounds, yeah.
But he has been killing Mavericks, the Mavericks lately. And so I thought Maxey, a lot of what he did and his hard work and fighting doesn't show up in the box score. But I still feel like he was incredibly valuable to this team's defensive effort.
Yeah. It was just an awesome game. It was great. a really awesome game.
And it gave Luka an opportunity to close it, hit a couple big shots there late in the game, a couple nasty threes.
It was funny. I was on Twitter. I was on the Twits, and I saw this tweet about Kyrie Irving. He hit some step back over Julius Randle. And I watched the clip over and over to try to figure out what was so special about it, because not to sound like, you know, arrogant or whatever, but
Luka, we see that all the time.
Luka does that like five times a game. And they were all like, oh, Kyrie. And he totally dropped Julius. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like Randle kind of, like he did, he left him. He created space and Randle was gone. But it wasn't like he tripped all the way back to the baseline or anything.
You've been desensitized.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
big
when
plays.
I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, Luka does that all the time.
Every game. You know,
it was weird. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's just where we're at right now, is that that's just what he does.
Oh, it's Kyrie. It's the Nets and the Knicks. And it was a minute left in the game. They were making a big. But we see it all the time.
Yeah,
so
we
it's
see
like,
it all the time.
You know,
like, oh,
been there, done
cool.
that.
That's cute.
Yep.
Hello, fellow listener. Future Sydney here. I'm jumping in because at this point in the podcast, we start talking about a different topic that I had been wanting to talk about, but after getting some feedback from our listeners, it sounded like it might not have been the right time for it. I wanted to talk about how cynical I am as a fan, which if you listen to the pod, you know that I'm like that. Like, I'm not afraid, or, you know, we're not afraid to express whenever we're having kind of negative thoughts about the team. And so I kind of just wanted to talk about that now that the Mavericks are good. You know, how do I get out of being a cynical fan and just enjoying them being good and trusting that they're, that, you know, believing in them, basically. But like I said, it sounds like this wasn't really the right time for that, that it was a little too heavy for people. So I totally get that. I decided to edit it out. I might post it in the future. I don't know. But I didn't want you guys to have to listen to something that you don't want to listen to. And so after getting that feedback, I decided to take this out. Thank you guys for listening. I'm going to end the pod here, but thank you for all of your support. Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.